What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I slave over a hot microphone all day, come home to this.
I slave over 30 minutes of Windows updates. You can at least say, all right, Ethan, let's get started instead of...
All right, Ethan, let's get started.
Thank you. Goodness. Welcome to The Crunch, episode 53. It is your boy, Ethan, a.k.a. Apropostle.
And I'm Patrick at Catholic Pat.
Patrick, do you know who we got on the call with us today?
Whom we got?
We've got the king of Catholic Twitter, the Catholic hipster himself, the guy that kind of wrote a book, Tommy Ty.
Yes, hello. And do you have like a director's thing where you like do the cut thing? Is that what that was?
That was my hand.
Wow.
I was just a clap. But I should get one of those. Budget thing. That'd be so funny because it's an audio podcast, so no one would see it. And it would just be me in my room going.
you could show me the slate, and that's what it's called, by the way. That's my communications degree at work.
No, it's called the thing that goes it's the director thing that goes. That's the name. That's on the patent.
You could show me the slate and it would be The Crunch, episode blank, and you could like write something funny on it.
Take 573.
So you want me to buy a potentially a $30+ object for a goof between you and me?
Yes.
No.
I expect you to commit to this. Am I the only one who commits to this relationship? This is terrible.
Yeah.
Yes is the answer.
When you asked me if I was setting up this morning and I said almost, I was still in bed.
Yeah, I know you were.
I'm a bad podcast host. Tommy, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Fabulous. It's a little bit early. I know you're used to being up this early with your children and your blueberry cranberry rolls or whatever it is that you make, but we're here. We're living.
That's good. I'm impressed. I never would be up at this time in college ever. But when I was in college, podcasts didn't exist, I don't think, so maybe it's different.
What years were you in college? I'm not trying to make you feel old. I'm just genuinely curious.
2000 to 2004.
I'm sure a podcast existed in some form.
I don't think the iPod existed.
You know, I had an iPod. Yeah, we had the iPod, but it was the one where it was just like a green screen with black text on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What?
I didn't know those existed.
That is a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did it look like the DOS?
Exactly. It exactly looked like that.
How large was it?
It was about the size of an iPhone, but it was way thicker and super heavy.
If you still have it and find it, you should post a picture of it on Twitter.
I'll dig through my stuff. And I used to have this little thing that you plug into the headphone jack that would like emit FM waves so that you could like play it through your radio. But then you'd like drive next to other people because in college, like, you know, all these people had it and it would like start blasting like their music through your speakers.
That's amazing.
That's so funny.
That has to be breaking all kinds of FCC regulations.
We still have short range FM emitters. Those are all over the place. You just the iTrip. You remember those?
Nope. Well, I mean,
nope.
I have one for my
this
car.
This is my favorite part about the podcast, that it's like we joke about something and then Pat knows that it exists and real and then you just say nope. That's good. That's a great take.
That's one of my favorite goofs. to do to Patrick, because you know he's chomping at the bit to share his knowledge, and then you just boom.
We call it the Patrick sucks aesthetic.
It's working. It's working.
It's what gets the sorority girls to the yard.
It is. It is. Oh man, Tommy. First of all, I've got your book, and I guess we're supposed to talk about your book.
We can. I have mine just in case you ask questions, because I don't.
I have a. Know I got a. I got a very threatening email from Ave Maria Press saying you better talk about Tommy's book on your podcast. And so here I am. There's actually a representative from Ave Maria standing in the room next to me right now, with a very
holding holy water to your head,
with a very threatening a cup of holy water. And so I'm here to ask, dude. First of all, I'm looking at this book, right? And you only wrote like 14% of it. So yes. How come you get to put your name on the front? Like, how
I
is
don't
that,
know.
How is that allowed?
The answer to that question is I don't know. Typically, when a book like this comes out that I've seen, they'll put like edited by or something like that over the person's
Tommy
name.
Tommy Tai and like, friends.
But they, yeah, well, I tried to get Tommy Tai and companions. That was my
good. That would have been good.
That would have been hilarious.
That was my plug. Didn't work. You know, this is a serious world, I guess, here. So yeah. So I don't know. They're like, we looked at the book, we decided to just give you author credits. And I was like, okay. All right. Guess so.
Hey, fair enough.
I think Anna Mitchell from Sunrise Morning Show probably wrote more of the book than I did. And everybody wrote at a higher quality than I did. So
you know, I'm going
to
be honest.
It's pretty unfair, to be honest.
I just got the book in the mail a couple days ago. I haven't read the whole thing, but I have read Sergio's chapters and Steve's chapter. And those are the ones that I went for straight away.
You're like, now I'll put it back on the shelf.
Exactly. Now I'm done. I've got the whole the Catholic Hipster Handbook experience. Patrick, have you read it yet?
I have not. I was immediately attracted to the Marian consecration section written by Tommy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is it good? I read the foreword. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Well, because Tommy does the big boy Marian consecration. He has the Louis de Montfort one.
Yeah,
and
I don't do any of these like trendy books.
Literally,
well, I think it's funny that Louis de Montfort's name is preceded by the words "forgotten saint" because I hear about him and talk about him all the time.
Oh yeah, they were going to change that. Because there's some saints in here that are definitely not forgotten. Like, I think Letitia Ochoa Adams references, like, Mother Teresa, you know? And I thought they were going to change it to cool saints. But this is what happens, you know, writing a book is not like having your own podcast where you can play air horns where you want. You send stuff to them and they say, great, and here's what we're going to do instead.
Put a marker, put an editing marker at 1450 so I can put an air horn in right there.
I'd say that's probably good because I don't know anything about making a book, so thank God they were there for that.
Yeah.
I think it makes me feel more hipster when someone says that a saint is forgotten. I'm like, oh, pff, I know who that is. So,
but, you know, in the reality, like, in the hands of the people who this book is eventually going to get into, other than all the people who I emailed Ave to send free copies to, they won't know who St. Louis de Montfort is, right? He's not like, I mean, I know we all know who he is, but
right. The
average Joe Pewsitter doesn't know who he is.
That's
so.
True. That's
he's
a good
on the,
point.
He's got a statue on the Vatican. People should know who he is.
Good point.
Because
yeah.
Everybody takes note of all those statues, Patrick. They're not looking at the Pope. They're not looking at anybody else there. They're looking at statues.
Ethan, yes. I don't appreciate your tone.
I don't appreciate my tone either. I'm sorry.
I repent.
Tommy, how did you get the idea for the book? Like, I know you said it started from a joke, but is that how did that come to fruition?
And it ended up as a bigger one.
Yeah.
That's definitely the hardest thing about having this book in the beginning was people would start approaching me and saying like, hey, so I had an idea for a book. Like, what do I do? And I say, I literally tweeted one thing. And then
do you remember the tweet? Do you remember the tweet that conceived your baby?
It was something as simple as like, I think I said, wouldn't it be funny if there was a book where a bunch of people wrote sections about things and it was just funny. Like, and it, you know, that was it. Like something that simple. And then like, it was Lisa Hendy said, here's the name of an editor at Ave. Send him an email and tell him that I emailed you. And I had just literally started writing for Catholic Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the height of irony. And so I was like, okay, because I don't get paid to write for Catholic Mom, but I thought I want to be nice to her because she let me like post words on her website. So I emailed the guy and he was like, yeah, let's do it. And that's how it started. So then wow. I just wrote a couple samples. I wrote some samples that were not ever used in the book and away we went. And then when they were like, you got to write this book and it has to be 50,000 words or whatever, I was like, holy smokes, I need to just start sending out DMs to everybody I know at the time on Twitter and asked them to write this book for me.
Another thing that I noticed, speaking of Twitter, there's a small section that like shouts out people on Twitter. Yeah, about that.
This book was written, Tommy, I would say, about 2 years ago.
Yeah, just... we were on Twitter 2 years ago, okay?
Yeah, Tommy.
What is this nonsense?
This book was written more towards like the when I still thought Catholic Twitter was just the land of normie Catholic Twitter.
Oh, so
no Anons.
That in mind.
No Anons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's... What was that life like? What was that glorious promised land of no Anons and no normies?
No kids invading your Catholic Twitter.
It was interesting. It's fine. It's good. I enjoy it now. Lots of people don't, but I enjoy it better nowadays. Yeah.
This is so funny to me.
Look, the book, my contributions to the book, especially that section on Catholic Twitter, would look drastically different if it was written now as opposed to like 2 years ago.
Oh, I bet. Because you like say.
They probably would have cut it, to be honest.
You even say, like, you talk about how weird Catholic Twitter is, and then you like shout out all of the people from Catholic Twitter that are not weird in any way.
Exactly.
You know, like,
it's true. Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
Wait, where's the weird Catholic Twitter?
It's.
Part of the book?
It's in there. It's the first chapter. It's like page 21.
Okay.
Let's read it out loud to the kids.
A reading from the book of Tommy.
Yeah.
it's honestly, Tommy, I think that's so funny that like you're even here and we're talking about Twitter, because I remember like 2 years ago, I hated you.
Nice.
Like, full disclosure, I thought you were the worst tweeter.
Don't tell Tommy that, he thrives on it.
On the internet. I know he does.
That's my soul food.
Yeah. But like I was so annoyed because I never won any boring. Of the polls. I never won any of the contests.
Oh,
and I was
bad.
Like, I'm out here grinding for the church and Tommy doesn't even care. Tommy doesn't even care
what
about
your...
my account.
You had an Anon account too before?
I did, yeah.
Well, yeah, we both did.
I know you did, because I remember you have like almost the same Abby, so it just has a your face
instead
of the cartoon or whatever. But what was yours, Ethan?
It was just a stupid stock photo of a guy holding a rosary. Like, it was not anything.
I don't think I ever
spectacular.
Saw that.
Yeah.
Well, Ethan had the dumb picture and the cool name, and I had the cool picture and the dumb name.
Fair enough.
Together, we became.
Don't
the same. Do the same
the
thing.
Same, the same thing.
Dare finish that thought.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry. Actually, you're not alone. Lots of people have sent me messages about how much they hated those polls. That's for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
What polls?
That's like the least. That's the least egregious thing that you do. Those polls are fun.
Yeah, I think it's most of the messages are around like you're perpetuating the fact that normal looking people with normal families and normal backgrounds are supposedly cool or whatever. I don't know. The whole purpose of it was just to like. Share people, right? Like that's kind of how it started. Well, the whole thing really started as a joke. I was like off work when I had my kid.
This is a recurring theme in your life, Tommy.
That's true. The whole thing was like I was like, oh, let's have a. I didn't even know what Twitter was at the time. Really, I kind of was like into weather Twitter. That was
wait
like
a minute, wait a minute. Hold on, pause. So go all the way back. So let's start.
Yeah, scroll to the very beginning of my Twitter feed ever. Yeah. And it's like a picture of me and my family at the rodeo. And then after that, it's like me trolling the National Weather Service about how I think it's like stupid that they would name storms that weren't like hurricanes or whatever. And just like I would send them like I would be like, hey, let's name this storm Winter Storm Rudolph if we're going to be and I'd like text them picture or tweet them pictures of like Rudolph cartoons or whatever, and they'd be like, no, we don't do that, like please stop sending us this.
Tommy's first tweet, what the heck is a winter weather advisory? Isn't all weather in the winter weather? Stupid.
Yeah, that was the gist of it. But then so I was bored when my kid was born, my third kid was born, and I was home from work, and so I started a blog. I was like, I'll start a blog. And one of the first things that I did was like a Catholic hipster of the year as a total joke, like just for
were
fun.
Were you like big on Twitter at that point?
No, God, I maybe had like 100 followers.
Oh,
I would say maybe, and like half of them were like air conditioning and heating companies and the other half were like Russian girl bots or whatever, you know. But then I was like, oh, I'll at the people. And just do it. And then like 3 days later, I was on the Sunrise Morning Show talking about how Anna Mitchell had won that poll.
What the heck?
Which was, yeah. Which is like, that's kind of how Catholic media is, sort of, right? It's like things that aren't really serious. People don't know that they're not serious, so they take it serious. I don't know if that's a theme.
Welcome to the crunch, Tommy.
Right? Right? It's like we had Catholic Answers reached out to Sarah and I to have Trent Horn from Catholic Answers like on the Catholic Hipster podcast. Ooh. And it's like, yeah, sure. But then I wanted to be like, but you know that like, I don't know. I don't know how to say it without being like disrespectful or whatever. It's like, it's not, this isn't a thing. It's just like Sarah and I having fun goofing off every other Saturday. It's not like a thing that you should send people to sell their books. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess, funny, when I emailed Aubin, I was like, can you guys send send Patrick a copy of the book? Because he has this podcast called The Crunch. And they're like, yeah, sure. And I was like, oh, wow, really? That was easy.
I thought I was going to have to like convince you with some statistics or something. Like,
yeah, so like, that's a funny thing. Yeah, so that's how it started. Yeah. That's how it all started. And then, yeah, here we are.
I agree.
I wouldn't call myself the king of Catholic Twitter, though. There's lots of more popular people than me, and
they have much better content. Here's my reasoning behind that, though, is that as far as like if we look at involvement ratio and like engagement to like number of followers that you have to generally how good of a person you are, then I mean you're pretty up there, you know, and like your quality of tweets. So there might be Twitter accounts that are Catholic that have more followers than you, but they're just like, you know, saint of the day bots, you know, or.
But aren't those like what we should be doing?
No, that's boring and lame. That's what the breviary is for.
I've run two of those accounts. They're not that fun, actually. They're really not that fun.
I have a breviary. I don't need that on Twitter, you know, like.
You're right.
You have the printed out one, the whole big thing, all the books.
I have Christian prayer.
I have Christian prayer. Okay. Let's just expose it. Let's pull it back here and be honest.
I don't have the breviary. I have a type of a breviary.
I have the little office of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's it. Yeah. That's all I have in print form.
I don't even know what that is.
There we go.
Oh, hipster prayer. There you go. Put me in the book. Right up there.
The little office of the Blessed Virgin is a good quality hipster prayer. You got it.
It's a good
office prayer. Except it doesn't change, right? It doesn't change.
No, it doesn't change. It's the same.
Right, okay.
What does it have in it?
It's the same as like a regular divine office, but it never changes, and it's kind of like focused more on Mary. Am I capturing it?
Every day is focused on a different mystery of the rosary, but not really. So like one is the crucifixion, one is the annunciation, one is the visitation. So it doesn't follow the exact mysteries of the rosary.
Right.
And so Sunday through Saturday is a different day. And then there's there's morning and evening prayer every day. And then for the rest of the hours, there's like one set prayer. So like the office of readings is one set prayer. There's a night prayer in the back. And then there's a Thanksgiving for Mary's Fiat is another one. It's a fun little book. It's about the size of a shorter Christian prayer. If you've ever seen one of those,
I have
half an inch thick. Uh-huh. Also, Tommy's mic went out.
Oh no, we're gonna stall until he comes back. It'll be great. Oh,
okay, cool.
Or if I have to, I can cut it right here.
Why do I keep clicking mute? I am terrible.
What are you doing, Tommy?
I don't know. I don't know how to do a podcast. Sarah does all the magic for the hipster thing. I've interrupted you like six times though, Ethan. So if you have a thought to finish.
I do. No, you're fine. I just had a question. Like, I think that your analysis of Catholic media and the way that it works is very interesting. Like, Patrick and I have talked about that, at least I think on a bonus podcast or something, about like just how weird it is that things like how we found our own lane kind of in Catholic media, and everybody was so accepting and supportive of it. And you just kind of said the same thing about like, you did this stupid little poll, and then, you know, 3 days later, you're on a morning show because people were supportive of what you were doing and accepting of it and thought it was cool. Like, I think that's so unique to, maybe it's not, but I think it's very interesting. Yeah. Like, what else have you seen kind of in this realm that has been interesting or different about the way that Catholic media works that you've liked, or maybe that you didn't like?
Just to appease the Ave Maria executive in your room that you were talking about, there is a chapter in the book by Lisa Hendy called We're All Fans of Each Other. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it's about. Sort of it's like how we all kind of support each other and how we're all sort of like the base of what, you know, gets devoured in Catholic media and how that's different. Like there's nothing like cutthroat, which is really nice. Everyone's really supportive. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really fun and it's cool. Like that first poll that I did in the very beginning got like 39 votes or something. Right. And it's like, you know, why? I don't understand why that became a thing then at that point, but here we are with a book. But I was going to say the thing that kind of you have to be on guard for is, and I'm totally guilty of this, is that like, because of the environment, I think that it gives room for like the quality of things to not be good.
Mm,
yeah. And it's like kind of okay. Because we all just sort of support each other. Yeah. And I'm totally guilty of this because, like, I have definitely, like, pounded out articles that I'm like, this isn't really that great, but send. I don't know. Like, I got to turn one in every month. So here we go. And then people be like, hey, yeah, that was a pretty good one. And I'm like, no, it wasn't. Like, just be honest with me. so that's like a balancing act. It's like really cool to get like more voices and things in, but it's also, you know, I think we should be able to be honest with trying to put out, you know, let's reference like Pope John Paul II's letter to artists, right? It's like, are we really working on doing things that are beautiful and good and can still be funny and silly and ironic or whatever? Or are we just like pounding it out because we have an opportunity and it's so easy now?
And then justifying it with the whole like, well, it's Catholic, so how bad, like, can you really?
I mean, I wrote about NFP, so it's all, I mean, I know it's not great, but it's the truth.
Well, that's my problem. At least Patrick and I, we get a lot of people, or sometimes will like send us stuff and be like, hey, you should talk about this on the Crunch. And I'll be like, I don't want to say it's not that good. And so I don't want to promote it, but because I don't, you're right. Like, I don't think the litmus test is, oh, you're Catholic, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think that's where it ends. And, you know, there are podcasts and there are YouTube channels and there are all kinds of things that just aren't good. And so it's a weird balance. And I don't necessarily know how to walk the line of telling somebody like, hey, you need to make better content. You know, because at the same, because I don't know if I make good content.
What is it? Did Jesus say something like, you know, examine the content in your eye before you tell someone to plug the content, something like that. But it's also
the content log out of your eye before you before you pinch the content splinter out of someone else's.
I find it difficult though because I do think that nothing I do is really that good. And so I have a lot of like try to be kind of self-deprecating to not take myself too seriously. But then I think there's a balance between when you're working with other people, you don't really want to be super self-deprecating because maybe they don't see it that way. And when you're like selling a book for a company that wants to make money, they also don't like it. You know, like with The Chimney or whatever, I recognize it's really kind of dumb and I don't know why people like it that much. So I'll say things like, here's this stupid thing. I wouldn't listen to it, but go ahead if you want to. And I know if I did that with the book, like I would get in trouble probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of feel that way. Like, I guess you can buy this if you want to. I'm shocked that you would kind of, but I think I shouldn't say that because it is good. It's there's lots of good stuff in it.
Especially because a ton of people that you're friends with have worked hard and submitted.
Yeah, stuff. And they did great. They're all amazing. I guess it's like my false humility to battle with of like, so I try and like be humble by saying that it sucks, which isn't really humility. So that's here's my dirty laundry aired out on the Crunch Cast.
It's actually more of just setting the bar low so that you feel better when it's not sucky. You know, it's like, that's what I do.
There you go.
It's like, I suck at singing. And then I get up and I'm like, and I do a moderately okay job. I'm like, wow, you're a lot better than you said you would. And I'm like, yeah, I am. Check me out. We're cool.
Turns out. I didn't even have to compliment myself.
Yeah.
I think for me, at least as far as false humility goes, it's easy. It's really
that
easy
was
to say.
That was your guardian angel giving you a little humility right
I know,
there.
Right? Let me just grab your tongue and rip it out of your mouth while you're trying to talk, Ethan. Thanks. but one time I had a nun that yelled at me, and it really set me straight as far as humility goes. Because I was talking, or my friend Tracy was hyping up the podcast. She's like, Ethan does this podcast. It's so good. And I was like, it's not that good. And she goes, stop that. And I was like, what? And she goes, take pride in what you do. Like, don't reject the fact that you do good things, you know, like make sure that you just say thank you and know that it's good because somebody clearly thinks it's good. So stop acting that way. And I said, okay, Sister Barb, I'm sorry. And I kind of shrunk into a little ball. And cried, and now I'm good.
Because a nun yelled at you. That's traumatic.
It was a bit traumatic. She whapped me with a ruler. No, she didn't do that. But now I'm good to go. Not good to go. I still struggle with it, but now I have a much different perspective on it. Tommy hit mute again.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you hear me now? Boy, that's a good one. Yeah. I don't know what the heck. I hate this mic. The new one's coming in the mail, so. You know, edit me and make me sound good, Ethan.
What mic? I can make you sound good. Don't worry. What microphone?
I don't know. I don't know. Oh, I use a Blue Snowball, but my kids are always wanting to carry it when I'm taking it to work to record The Chimney in the work parking lot. And they've dropped it like 4 times. And so now the USB cable doesn't connect. So I finally ordered another one. And I don't know.
Nice.
Yikes.
So yes to what you were saying, but this is how I always want to be. When I would like a long time ago when Catholic radio wasn't trying to be super cool, they used to just stream EWTN when I would drive home.
Yeah.
And Mother Angelica, and I know whatever, but she was so good at taking compliments And she would literally just say like, oh, all glory to Jesus, like praise be Jesus every time she would get a compliment. Mm-hmm. And it didn't sound fake. Like it sounded really like sincere and authentic.
That's
coming
the
from
tough
her.
Part.
Yeah. And so like, I wish I could be like that, yeah. But I feel like it wouldn't be as authentic because deep down I would be like, yeah, I'm kind of liking this praise. But she knew how to handle it. And so I kind of would love to strive to be like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it really does. I mean, if the crunch is good, it is really because of Jesus. Like we really, yeah. I know that sounds kind of nerdy, but it's true. Right. And so it's like, how do we remember that? And how do we like take compliments well, while also like pointing out the fact that it's because of him? That's hard.
Oh, a while back, this was in my prayer a lot, was like, trying not to be fake, but like, honestly, like, everything is dust. Everything is dust. And the only reason why something would not be dust is because Jesus makes it not dust. So like the crunch is dust unless Jesus gives it life. So any kind of merit that it has is because of Christ. And I mean, it's kind of just, it's less of like a, oh, it's all because of Jesus, kind of this like high floaty kind of way of saying it. And it's kind of just like a straight up fact. Like, yeah, no, it's all because of Jesus. This wouldn't exist without him.
Yeah, we've drifted into the real caves of normie Catholic podcasting at this point.
Everything is dust.
Which, by the way,
everything is dust, and everything that's not dust is anime.
There we go. Thanks for bringing us back.
We're back.
When you got the hipster handbook in the mail, you said, I got mail that reminded me of how normie I am or something like that.
Yep.
And I thought, really? I mean, the crunch is pretty normie. Can we just like put that out on the table there?
You're right.
And it's okay.
Definitely.
I mean, it's fine.
Here's the thing about the normie weird divide, all right? It's so arbitrary and the line moves. So you can never know where you actually are. Like because I do a podcast, people say, oh, I'm normie. Because I talk about myself and I talk about my life. In order to be weird, you have to put up this wall. Right, you have to put up this like facade of whatever,
yeah.
Of absolute
seven-layer dip of irony.
Exactly.
Ooh, I could love some seven-layer dip right now.
And then all of a sudden you're weird, but when you're honest about the things that are happening in your life, then you're a normie. First, but then you can be weird and be honest about things that are happening in your life too. So I don't know. Maybe it has to. Maybe I need to put a painting of an ancient pope on my profile.
Don't do it.
And then tweet angrily at everyone.
They're not normie.
They're pretty weird. I don't know. I don't understand Twitter. I don't want to understand Twitter. I don't care about Twitter.
Never recommend Twitter to anyone.
Twitter's the least important thing in my life.
They're like, oh, you're on Twitter? Should I get on Twitter? I'm like, no. Don't.
You shouldn't at all.
Yeah, when I was working for Unnamed Diocese as their social media coordinator, I was talking about Catholic Twitter, and they're like, how do you get on Catholic Twitter? And I'm like, you don't want to get on Catholic Twitter. Don't do it.
They're like, there's a guy, God love him, who every time for a while I mentioned the phrase Catholic Twitter, he would tweet me and say, there's no such thing as Catholic Twitter, just over and over again, as if I was saying there was like an app or something like that. And I didn't understand that. Like, yeah, weird.
My favorite is when I get people asking me how to join, as if there's some kind of request form that you have to fill out.
Yeah. Like, am I a part of it now? Like, did that work?
I don't actually know, because there's so many circles and spheres. And like, I didn't even know Tommy existed until 2 years ago. You know, he came into my purview because of some article that got shared over and over and over again.
What year is this? I didn't exist. I only got on it in 2015 anyways. So there you go.
Are you serious?
No way.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Wild, dude.
Is it?
Yeah, that article. I don't know if you remember. You probably do. It was the one about like the kids being loud in church.
Yeah,
and like, an old lady getting upset with you.
I peaked really, really early. That was the first article that was ever put up by another. Like,
what?
And that
that's
was
hilarious.
That I got more nasty. Yeah, that one got pretty nasty.
Yeah, that one, I was super bummed that you got so much flack for that, because I totally agree with you. Like, it's so dumb to be mad at kids in church.
Yeah, that's really, really, we shouldn't probably talk about that topic, because you're going to start getting like emails and stuff. Or
bring it on.
Calls.
Let's go.
That's like a lightning rod. Yes, it is.
It's the hubris of an adult who doesn't realize they're supposed to be a child, that thinks that anything that they have to pray is more profound than a little kid going bah in the back of a church. That kid is voicing his entire being in that one syllable, and you're like, Heavenly Father, I ask that you help me get that promotion. Your life doesn't matter. Like, your problems don't
your
matter.
Life doesn't it. Matter. Your Patrick Nevy, you Patrick Nevy 2017.
You are dust.
Listen up. Listen up, Bob, senior level accountant. How about you take some humility pills, sir, Mr. Bob, Mr. Meaningless Life Boy? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Senior executive director of dust.
Senior executive director of get out of my church, you sinner. Patrick Nevy, 2017.
So I think there's two things that are the problem here. Number one is I think there's a lot of people who have problems in their life, and then they hate people that appear that they don't have problems in their life. And that was kind of the gist of that particular article that was a while ago. It was like, there are people who have infertility. There are people whose kids aren't Catholic anymore. There are people who have a divorce. There's people who have all these wounds, right? And we all have wounds, but some wounds, you look at other people and you don't like them. Like, my wife and I lost our son. When I see people with a newborn baby, I don't like them. I get super angry at them. And I think that's like a natural human thing that we have to like overcome. Mm-hmm. So I think one thing is like, if you didn't have a family that came to church and now you're there and you're old, you might get super frustrated emotionally because of these families that you see. The other thing is, I think that maybe people focus their entire prayer life and worship around the Mass only. Mm, and of course, we know the Mass is like, you know, the source and summit, big deal, whatever. But if you're only going to church on Sunday and that's the gist of your religious life, then you don't want kids there because you're like, this is my hour that I'm with God and I don't want anybody interrupting it. Whereas like, if you take the time to do other things, you realize like, okay, I'm here at Mass for an hour, but me, I wake up early in the morning to pray because my kids are asleep, so I have that time. Or I'm at work and I, you know, so it's like you have these other opportunities and you can put it into a bigger framework maybe. Yeah, that's it.
My problem at Mass is not loud kids because I go to a college.
Your problem is drunk kids.
Drunk kids, but hey, mostly our church is so small for the amount of people that we have coming, so it's always really sweaty. So I get angry because I'm sweating, and so I have to find prayer times where I'm not as my glands.
Where's the AC? They don't have AC at your church there?
I need to make sure my glands aren't as active when I pray. we do have AC, but we crank it. But literally, just there's so many bodies like packed into this church. We're trying to expand, you know, but that costs a lot of money. So yeah, it kind of sucks, but I get it. I think if we compare the children to my sweat, then we've got a good metaphor going.
That was
good. Got a good metaphor going.
And I would like to, that should be the pull quote from this podcast. I want to, you know, go to Mass without my glands being active. I think that was a good.
I was thinking Tommy Ty and the brand Splinter. That was
the one.
That was good. Yeah.
Are we going to get one of those super cool like preview things out of this? Is that happening?
I hope so. We haven't had one of those in a while. Alex has been pretty busy.
Those are pretty cool. When I saw you guys put out that first one, I was like, this is a real deal here. They're really doing it.
Yeah. There's the brand. Yeah, that's not us. That's a friend of ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're trying to do it. It's so hard to do it and like also do other things. I'm always baffled at adults who like do podcasts and then do and write things and then also have jobs and also have kids. And I'm like, I am in 15 credit hours and I can barely remember to post on the Patreon page. You know, like I
remember that I made some joke about how you weren't on top of this like trending breakfast thing one time for your guys' brand. And you were like, dude, I'm in college. Like, come on, I'm busy. I was like,
I barely remember to eat breakfast myself.
Yeah.
Let alone.
I'm not even I'm busy. I just use it as an excuse.
Busy.
I'm a bad
I think we wake up early. We, you know, use our downtime wisely at work.
Yeah.
And I think that's how you get it done.
Yeah. I think the problem actually is not having no free time. It's having no scheduled time. I found that when I'm back at school and when I have a steady schedule, I get more stuff done than when I'm just like lazing around over the summer. Mm-hmm. Just like nothing happens because I'm just static all the time. It's crazy.
My prayer life gets wild at school, low key. Like, because I have it's like scheduled and it's regimented.
I'm levitating. I'm like throwing.
Yeah, but then when I get home,
I'm reaching to fish.
There's no fish here.
That's right. I'm preaching to wheat fields.
There you go. Oceans of grain.
And they all turn and listen. I think the thing that we have to watch out for, though, when you're trying to like create and write and make jokes that people like on Twitter is not to neglect praying too, right? Because it's like sometimes you can easily, or I'll own it. Sometimes I can say, well, I'm writing about something Catholic, therefore this counts as
a prayer,
as if I was praying, sort of. And so yeah, gotta set that aside.
And I think also another thing, just for you aspiring content creators out there, is it's okay to not put out content. Like, there will be times where I don't tweet for like a week because I just have nothing to say. And that's fine.
You know? I mean, it makes Patrick nervous, but the rest of us are okay. We understand.
Everybody's totally like? Fine with it. Yeah. Or, I mean, well, the podcast, I kind of have to do it every week, but that's a bit of a different story. That's just me talking to my friend, you know? So,
Aww, that is cute.
You said the F word.
We're not friends. That's our brand, is that we're not friends.
Like co-workers, or what? How do we frame this?
We're
co-workers in the vineyard.
Acquaintances that have met one time in person.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's really
SLS 2018.
Yeah,
round two.
Can't wait for everybody on Catholic Twitter to get mad that we're spending money to go to a conference. Jesus is behind a paywall, folks.
I can't wait to tweet angry things about that. Yeah, that would be good.
Tommy, are you ready? I want you to start a beef with Focus, Dynamic Catholic, and Life Teen all in the same week.
In one
Tommy tweet. Was ready. Tommy was ready to start beefing with Franciscan, and I was like, I have to log off.
I had to just put one tweet out there. I can't ignore a whole story like that. I just had to put that one little thing.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, so that was something funny about trying to make a book is they say, well, this book is like targeted towards like younger people and like millennials. It'll be great. So do you know anybody at Focus and Life Teen? And I was like, ooh, the thing about that, I might have like alienated that base. That bridge might be burned.
Well, if that bridge has been burned, I have another book for you. It's called Building Bridges.
Beautiful.
No.
Air horns. Bah, 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 bah. that was good. Oh my gosh. So I have to say that I don't know how many people are going to listen to this. So I will say I'm super excited about this, but it's also funny. I'm going to be on the Jesuitical podcast.
No.
Yep. I don't know who's on that. I don't know what that is. I've never heard of that.
It's like from America. It's America Mag's podcast. Oh. And one of the three co-hosts is Father James Martin, SJ.
Oh boy.
How You're much do I have to pay it? You to say the word The Crunch?
That would be awesome. I could do that. That's fun.
I think that's against FCC regulations, but
to Why? Pay me to do it or to slip in words?
I think that's against the rules. I don't know.
Matt Swaim has like said secret words when he's hosted Catholic Answers before. Like we've done things where it's like someone give him a word and he's fitted in.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I think he did
defenstration one time, which was really tricky, but yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Patrick?
I'm trying to think of how I would slip that in. I'm thinking. Hold on.
Okay.
I know, like, usually podcasts are so rapid fire.
I was reading Building a Bridge, and I was crunching over the message that you were trying to
crunch,
put out there. I have to remember, like, I was telling my wife, like, I really have to remember that I'm the one being interviewed on this podcast, because I really would want to be like, okay, yeah, we'll get to it, but wait, first, like, you know what you're doing, right, Father James? Like, I mean, you're doing it
Wait,
on
is
purpose.
Father James one of the co-hosts?
Yeah. She said he was going to be one of the folks, yeah.
Oh wow, that's crazy. Wait, tell me. Like from what I saw when it released like last semester.
Right, and it's like three people that drink beer while they do the podcast. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, how come we don't know any of them? You know, that's the weird
actually,
thing.
Actually,
like,
one of them is like a big time guy on NPR. Like
oh really?
NPR reporter. Yeah.
What the heck?
No, I'm just wondering why there's no like, because like I, except for Catholic stuff, you should know, but we're not going to talk about that. The Catholic podcasting community is alive and well. We all know each other. You know, yeah. We're kind of like we're at least at furthest we're a Twitter DM away. You know, like it's maybe not phone call or like, you know, maybe email. I don't know, but I'm like, especially as a young adult podcasters, I was like.
Do you think if like National Catholic Reporter put a podcast of young adults together, you would know any of them? I think they're like in a totally different.
That's the thing.
It's so weird.
It's just weird because like our source for young adult Catholics is Twitter, and so
right,
like, that's just how we know everybody. Yeah. But there's probably like a great group of young adult Catholics on some other website that we just don't know.
Or not on a website.
Or maybe like in a real life place.
Maybe they do go.
Huge company find young adults? It's weird. Where did they find them?
Tommy, how did you get invited to be on the Jesuit thing?
Ave Maria just sends out like a review to like this stock list of people that they have, and then they're like, "Hey, you want to be on this thing?" Yeah.
And we're on that list now, Ethan.
Great.
You guys should get. It's really one thing that's really weird is like. Books just show up at my house all the time now, and it's
that's the dream.
Every book, well, it's not like the books. I don't like put in like here's the books I would like, and then those books show up. Like every
it's
book
all
shows
the books.
Up. So I will say there was a very large stack of books that we took to our parish book drive that they're going to sell at our parish
from an unnamed publisher.
It was full circle. It's like I got handed this book during Lent, and I handed it right back when I had an opportunity. It was good.
Tommy, I have a question. So you've done, I mean, it just in 2 short years with the Catholic Hipster, you've kind of done a lot and made a bit of a splash. What would you say is like the most important thing that you do, or the thing that you are the most passionate about, or the thing that Christ is really, you know, telling you that you need to do or that you want to do next?
Are you talking about things restricted to Catholic media, or you
no.
just mean life in general?
Life in general, because like we know you as the Catholic Hipster guy, but like, I don't know if you do other things outside of, you know, Twitter that really make an impact on your life.
I hope I do.
Like, you know, being a husband or a father,
like those kinds of things. Like, where are you at? Like, what's the big hoedown in Tommy Thailand?
Yes. Okay. So first of all, I think it's funny that people know me as quote the Catholic Hipster because as
it's literally your brand.
It's not a brand. As Steve the missionary pointed out, I am not, I don't have a beard or.
Oh, that's true.
I don't, yeah, I just eat regular food and.
And live in a redacted city.
I don't live in a redacted city. I live in a town called Livermore in the East Bay Area. Now, Steve doesn't like me to say where I live because then it shows
Steve
what diocese he works in.
Near to him, yeah.
And he doesn't like it, yeah.
But anybody with a brain can figure out where.
Yes,
Steve
it's
lives
east of San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
There's a big city east of San Francisco. Anyways, sorry, Steve. I apologize. But Steve's not listening to this. He only listens to Catching Foxes when he's driving around. So
that makes sense.
There's that. Yeah.
Ouch. No, I get it.
I'll circle back to this, but I do have to share that like I don't really get podcasts or Catholic YouTube accounts, but we could circle back to that maybe since I'm involved in that.
Let's do it.
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, in regular life, yes, being a husband, being a father, those are probably the two most important things.
Mm-hmm.
And then at work, I've been able to start a program kind of from scratch that is involved in like perinatal bereavement, which means providing like emotional support to people who have had like miscarriages. Or like stillbirths or neonatal deaths, like young deaths.
Mm-hmm.
So we do like outreach phone calls. We do support groups because I'm a marriage and family therapist in real life. And that's been really powerful to me. Yeah, we've had it going for about 6 months and we've got over 80 patients that we're working with so far.
Wow.
And it's just that's what I should be doing, I think, professionally. I mean, like that's what I want to be doing.
Yeah. And that's like, I mean, even if it's not a quote unquote ministry, it totally is. Like, that's.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
incredible.
I can tell you, like, it's obviously religious themes come up, spirituality, mortality, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff, mm-hmm. very serious. I can tell you that most of the people that we work with are Catholic because I work with like a Medicaid, I guess you would call it, since this is like a national podcast, like a Medicaid population, right? So it's like lower income people. people from a certain part of the world where like most people are Catholic would be like the majority of the folks that we work with. So it's really nice to be able to work for the government, but also like tap into that spirituality side that people have. Yeah, powerful stuff. It's cool. It's really cool.
That's incredible. It kind of gives some perspective on things sometimes, right, Pat? Like we're out here doing a podcast and Tommy's doing
real life stuff.
Real life stuff. Like that's incredible. And I think we should all strive to like find a niche with like real people and be able to work with them in real ways that mean something, you know? Like
I mean, to be fair, you do stuff. You have your campus ministry and
youth and everything. I love the youth. And everybody's got their thing, you know? I think we should all find our thing.
And also sneak out to your station wagon in the parking lot to record a podcast and then run back in to go back to work, too.
Station wagon? Yes.
Well, on weekdays, I'm in the station wagon because that's my car. On the weekends, I get to sit in the Sienna when I'm recording stuff.
I've just never heard anyone call it a station wagon this side of the millennium, side of 2000.
What do you call it? A hatchback?
Well, it's a station wagon.
It's a Pontiac Vibe, 2008 Pontiac Vibe. Google it. It's
I had that car. That's the car that got smashed out of 2007 Pontiac Vibe, Burgundy.
You didn't even know it was a station wagon?
did you call it?
A hatchback. I called it a hatchback.
See, and when I think of a hatchback, I think of like a shorter.
Oh, man. Like... Patrick, this is the most Patrick Nevy car I've ever seen. Like if you had to be a car. I think I found it. I think it's the 2007 Pontiac Vibe.
It's kind of feminine looking.
Feminine looking. It's just like the way that it curves matches yours.
I'm uncomfortable. Now I drive a Corolla, so it's going to be around.
That's right.
Corollas are normie.
I was deep into Dorothy Day when you started tweeting pictures of your brand new Corolla, and I was like, give me a break, man. You should be feeding the poor and buying a used clunker. What the heck?
Oh, believe me. I had some crises about that car, about buying that car. Oh, man.
Well, I'm glad you had it.
I had to move on to a car that would last me longer than 2 years.
I can tell you that religious people drive around the most, in my experience, are Toyota Corollas. Like nuns and religious brothers, they all have Corollas.
Yeah.
That's an interesting proposition to Patrick. Yeah. What's Tommy trying to say?
That was on accident.
Become a monk, Pat. No, I'm in. I'm into it.
What would you be? What if you were going to go into, you know, that realm of life, what would you be?
Okay, the servants of the Eucharistic Heart of Jesus. They're like, there's like 8 of them, and they're super cool, and only because they're not well known. But if I had to be realistic, I'd probably do OFMs.
How about you?
Franciscan OFMs.
Me?
Yeah, you.
I'd be a Jesuit. Take them down from the inside, baby.
Very good. That's good. I like
Jesuits
it.
Jesuits don't have cool habits.
No, honestly, no. If I like, if I had to pick an order, I'd probably pick Dominican, most likely.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm Norbertine, or Premonstrarian, known.
Norbertines are cool. I met some of them at Seek. They're low key frat. Like they're awesome.
They're pretty amazing. Yeah, we used to live in Southern California. We lived like 2 miles away from their big, gigantic school and place that they live. Whatever that's
complex.
Called. That was a Catholic failure moment. Yeah, and they're epic. They're totally epic.
Is monastery, is that the word?
Which is funny because like we became friends with one of them, and he was like, I was like, you guys are just so cool and it's so powerful for me to have your witness. And he was like, oh, it's funny because outside of the United States, evidently the Norbertines are like what we think of the Jesuits.
Oh,
like in
really?
Different countries.
Oh, so no.
It's interesting to think about how, you know, it's not like a thing across the world, like Jesuits are wonky, maybe.
Yeah.
But definitely.
Well, America is the world, Tommy. Right.
It should be. Yeah.
America is the center of Catholicism.
God, that would be so sad.
That would be the worst.
Oh man.
Oh,
so podcasts and YouTube channels. I don't get it. I got to be honest, and I have 2 podcasts.
Yeah, what are you saying right now? I'm very confused.
I just don't listen to them very much, and I've tried and I've given it like my honest best to listen to them, but I find it to not be, and this, you know, I mean, even for me, I'm not saying like, except for mine, I'm not saying that at all. I just don't find them entertaining enough to listen to. I mean, they're good conversations.
He's talking about us, Patrick. He's
no, not us. Even. I can say this without a doubt completely. This is 100% honest. The podcast I've listened to the most is definitely this one.
Yay. I can say that. Tommy.
We did it.
What a boy.
You know, honestly.
That means like probably 4 or 5 total episodes.
Nice.
But that's the most of anyone I've ever listened to.
My default is not listening to podcasts, but since doing a podcast, I've listened to more podcasts. You know, it's kind of just a natural thing.
I went through a phase of trying, and I like loaded up my phone with like, here's all the ones I want to download, and I'd listen, and I'm like, I don't get it.
I mean, the medium is not for everyone.
That must be it.
Like, do you prefer to read, or, you know, like, do you like audiobooks?
I would prefer to read a good article or a book. That's probably it.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, I think it just depends on, like, the time that you have to take in media, you know? Like,
when I'm at school,
I will listen to a podcast as I'm driving, you know, to and from class, or, you know, walking around campus or whatever, because I have that time, you know?
It could be if my Pontiac Vibe had like an aux input cable, maybe I would listen to them more. But like, when you're listening to it in a phone in your shirt pocket, like, it's maybe that's part of it too.
You got to get a short range FM transmitter, Tommy.
I will say I know. That's true. I know. I don't even have that Pontiac Vibe doesn't even have a cassette deck, so I can't even get like the.
Well, if you have a cigarette lighter or one of those,
yeah,
then you just
Tommy here's
you plug one right
here's
in.
What I did.
It goes Bluetooth
from one Vibe. From one former Vibe owner to a current Vibe owner, I got this like little, this little Bluetooth plug-in thing.
Yeah, I
and
have
it, like,
one too.
And like went into my cigarette lighter as a charger, and it like my phone connected via Bluetooth, and it connected to my radio through FM waves, and it
Are
worked
you going
great.
To the bathroom? Was that
was
like
11
going
bucks.
To the bathroom right now?
Yeah, it sounded like a toilet flush. What was that?
Sorry,
even?
I had to blow my nose. I'm disgusting.
Isn't there like a mute button? I know I've hit it twice.
Oh, true. I always forget. Sorry, Mom.
Yes. Same goes for YouTube. I have to put that, like, I think Steve has figured out how to make me like his YouTube channel because it's quick and it has lots of cuts and it's fast.
Well, YouTube is supposed to be quick with lots of, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going
right,
to talk
good.
About it.
Yeah, fine. Go ahead.
Talk to Daniel Glaze if you want to talk about the
YouTube. Yeah.
The next. Organization of a YouTube video.
I can't even imagine editing videos. I can't.
It's tough.
It's, yeah. I mean, it can be a lot. It can be very quick and very easy, or you can make it very, very difficult for yourself.
Ethan, do you use iMovie?
In the few videos that I've posted, yes.
Okay. I don't mean to one-up you, but I do. Okay. There, like Adobe Premiere and like stuff like that. That's so frustrating. It's so frustrating.
I use Adobe Premiere.
You use Adobe Premiere?
No, I'm making fun of you for using Adobe Premiere.
Oh, listen. You're right. it just takes so long to do what you want if you don't know the program well, and I just don't like editing.
Use Final Cut Pro, bro.
That's hard too. It's just the Apple version of Adobe Premiere.
Get it together is all I'm saying. What I think is that media is good, and we should just be conscious of what we're taking in and when we're taking it in. Because I like Catholic podcasts as much as the next guy, but I can't exclusively listen to Catholic podcasts. You know. Like, I have to go yam on some my brother and me and like get some good goofs and some laughs in, or else like I'm gonna get all depressed listening to, whatever.
Don't
I mean,
say it. Don't
listening to Luke and Gomer talk about how sucky their lives were in college.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I was gonna say, Catching Foxes is great, but Catholic Stuff You Should Know makes me fall asleep. Pints with Aquinas makes me feel like an idiot. So I don't listen to those.
I'm so proud that I've never listened to that podcast. I don't know
why. Like, why is that a source of pride?
I don't know.
Why, Tommy? Why are you so contrarian? I get it.
You're like the guys
I'm not into.
I have never seen one episode of Game of Thrones. Well, I've never listened to one episode of Pints with Aquinas.
Those are both true for me. That makes me. Yeah. Now I have two things to hang my hat on.
There
you
go. Update your Twitter bio.
Yeah, that should just be it. I don't know. The Catholic Church is great because there's something for everybody. Uh-huh. And since Twitter exists, then you're able to talk about the things that aren't for you. And I guess maybe there needs to be clarity around, like, this isn't for me as the take, as opposed to, I think this is stupid as the take. Maybe that's what I need to work on.
Well, it's okay for, I mean, your take can be that it's, that you think it's stupid, I think. Not that it is stupid, but it just is your opinion that it is.
Well, evidently, according to Twitter, someone on Twitter said, all I ever do is troll Dynamic Catholic, which I then said, can you find those tweets for me and like send them to me or something?
That was like a three tweet series by you out of thousands. It's all you ever do.
Upon thousands.
Twitter's great though. It's so nice to go like back to interacting with people because then you realize like not everybody is completely insane. Mm. Sometimes I have to like actively do that at work where it's like I'm sitting in a meeting looking at Twitter and then it's like, you know, someone says something to me in the meeting and I have to be like, okay, brain, you're going back to the real world. Like, don't say something like hella snarky to this person in real life. You know, like
don't say those are all your tweets that refer to using Twitter language in real life. I love those where you're just like your kid comes up, daddy, like wake up, don't at me.
Thank you, Patrick. Your kindness, it's all glory to God.
All glory to God.
Was that good? Did that sound authentic?
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah. Humility starts today.
I should just delete the account. I've thought about that. That would be fun.
What if like there was a mass exodus and we just got a big group together and we all decided to delete our accounts at the same time?
That would be super cool.
That'd be amazing.
And honestly, then we had somebody write an article about how we were all catfishing, the whole group of us.
The whole time.
I'm actually a 30-year-old married woman. Folks, that's been almost a year ago.
Somebody reverse Google search it.
It's been a year.
Prayer Crouch. Someone reverse Google search it and see where they find it. It's on Bob from Accounting's Facebook page.
Exactly. Senior executive level.
Senior executive director of dust.
He doesn't get the promotion so hard. He creates an alter ego that's a 21-year-old idiot. Classic.
It's good to
be real.
Do you
want to put Tommy in the crunch bowl?
We can real
quick.
What
is this? Is this the Catholic hipster hot seat that you guys ripped off, the crunch bowl? Yeah.
You are so correct.
Nice.
We even said that on the first time we did it. We were like, hey, we're totally ripping off the Catholic hipster hot seat.
Last time I was sitting in this exact spot and like our washer and dryer is in our garage and we're like ripping through questions that we don't prepare ahead of time. We just say them, you know?
Yep.
And I literally said, do you wash your clothes with fragrance-free detergent or smelly detergent? Because there's a big bottle of detergent sitting right in front of me and it was the only thing I could come up with. This is the thing I was talking about bad content.
No, that's high quality. I think we should have more Catholic laundry themed content.
We need an account. There should be like a Catholic laundry.
No, Tommy, every time you say that, it appears and then it hurts us.
Yeah. Who does that? I want to know who does that. None of those have ever been me.
None of those have ever been funny.
The spirit of Vatican II, that was the only one I had briefly, and then I deleted it because I got sick of it. But like none of those other ones. And what happened to that Life Teen Trump guy? Like,
oh, he got blocked. I think he got reported so many times that his account was deleted.
But like, wasn't he? Okay, so that I made that joke, and then that guy came on, and it seemed like he was playing along with the joke. And then like, I didn't see him for a long time, and the next thing I know, he's Nazi or something.
He's dropping C words left and right. Like it was.
What happened?
It was nuts.
He came in our DM and like tried to like, he was like entrapping us. He was like, do you believe that abortion is bad? I'm like, yes, of course. What is this? And he was like, then he asked Ethan some question about gay priests, and Ethan like responded, and he was like, say goodbye to your precious podcast. And I was like, are you like trying to be a supervillain? Because this is awesome. Like, this is really funny.
I don't know who really he would have reported me to. Like, who could he report me to that would be able to like let iTunes know that I don't uphold church teaching? Well, they don't care. Let the Vatican know. Well, I don't know how you're going to tweet the Vatican. So, like, what's
Patrick might have gotten kicked out of Franciscan, though, if he created enough of a social media sting.
Hey-o, there it is.
We hit it. We hit it, folks.
Recent events.
That's it for me. You can follow me on Twitter.
Quick, Patrick. Crunch Bowl. Let's go.
Crunch Bowl. Okay, what's your favorite cereal?
Grape nuts.
What on earth is a grape nut?
It's like grapes?
Malted barley. Is it nuts?
No, it's like malted barley or something.
That's not cereal.
What barley?
It's crunchy. That's your thing.
No, our thing is delicious, sugary heart attacks in a bowl with milk.
When I grew up as a child, I would be like, can I get Rice Krispie Treat cereal? And they'd be like, no, Cheerios. Like that plain Cheerios, not even
honey. Not even the honey nut.
Nope. And now
you eat
that I'm a 35-year-old dad, boom, I'm doing the same thing in the aisle. Heck no.
Yeah.
It's just, sorry, next one. My bad.
Peanut butter and jelly or ham and cheese?
Ham and cheese.
Oh, gross. This is the worst.
Would you rather poop a watermelon or pee a marble?
I guess I'd go with the watermelon.
Attaboy.
So did Arlene. Weird.
It's very strange.
This is a question you asked Arlene Spensley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the would you rather change gender every time you sneeze or not be able to tell the difference between a muffin and your son?
I guess change gender every time I sneeze.
Yeah, I know. That's a pretty obvious one. As like a dad.
I mean, I'm in the Bay Area. We don't actually, you know.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference.
Anyways, so yeah. I wouldn't need to change.
It's like, I usually sneeze twice, so I'm front and back. But now it's like, I have to sneeze 71 times before I get back to normal.
It's good to be out here.
It's a good thing everything's dust.
that was funny, Patrick. Tommy, what was the last book you read?
The last book that I read, you mean like completed or the last book that I like read some of?
The last book you completed.
The last book I completed was The Violence of Love by Blessed Oscar Romero.
That is
last
classic.
Book I read, though, was Tell Me Something Beautiful by Sam Roach. I read most of it before I wrote this review, and it's very good. I would highly recommend it. Mm. Yeah, but Violence of Love is the last thing I read all the way through.
Good.
Ethan, what's the last book you read all the way through?
Ooh.
The Catholic Hipster Handbook.
Probably. First Thessalonians. does that count?
Very good. That was good.
I honestly don't know. I'm almost finished with Forming Intentional Disciples, so I guess I could probably say that because I'm almost done with it.
That's good. I heard you need to have read that to go on interviews if you want to work in the Catholic Church.
Basically, it's actually a really good book. Like,
that's good.
Yeah.
It's sad that like the intentional thing has kind of become a joke.
Yeah.
Kind of become a joke. Yeah.
Hey, Tommy, are you an intentional disciple?
No. I'm completely unintentional.
Get off my podcast.
I just let the Holy Spirit guide me.
Oh,
in everything I
he's
do.
He's a charismatic ooh. Disciple, folks.
Is that? Ooh, don't say I'm charismatic. Though.
That's too normie. Are you trad?
I don't even know what that means, really.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Crunchbowl, how trad are you, Tommy?
What, like, can you define what you mean by that? Like, do I believe everything the church teaches? Yeah, I guess. Is that trad? I don't know.
Yeah, I think in terms
of if you believe everything the church teaches, then obviously you only allow organ music in your masses.
I have no control over the music, and if I did, there would be no music. That's what I would decide for mass.
5 o'clock mass, St. Joseph the Worker Parish in Weirton, West Virginia. That's where I go because I don't have to worry about anything. It's so great.
You drive to West Virginia for mass?
It's right across the border.
Oh, I guess
you have to drive like days to get out of my state.
In my mind, Ohio and West Virginia are far apart.
Worlds apart.
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess that makes sense.
I will say, there are a lot of jokes that go on about music at mass.
Yeah,
and I think that generally it's just in fun and the music's fine and who really cares?
Yeah,
it does a good enough job. But I did have a lovely cantor at my parish say, "Oh, hi, I follow you on Twitter and I saw how many jokes you make about cantors." At mass singing, and I was like, started sweating. Like, I want to be like, that's not even me. That's like someone else who stole my picture or whatever. But she said, "Oh, I just want to let you know it's cool and I find it funny." So, shout out to her. She's pretty cool.
That's hilarious.
That is like my biggest like sweating moment. My glands start getting activated, Ethan. Oh. Is when someone at or outside of mass says, "I follow you on Twitter," and I think,
"Yes,
oh my god, no. What did I do?"
What gets it for me is when people tell me that their parents listen to the podcast. And I think of all the times that I make jokes about wanting to date moms, and I go...
You know how many moms listen to our podcast?
Too many.
That's good, though. That's the base of, you know, when you're like jettisoning out into Catholic media, you got to start with the moms.
Start with the moms.
Forward. Yeah.
Shout out.
Catholic moms make the world go round.
Patrick, last question for Tommy, then we're going to close it out.
I have no question. Do you have a question? I can't think of one that fast.
Would you rather fart out your nose or sneeze out your butt?
Easily sneeze out your butt. Are you kidding me?
That's good. That's a good choice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Never have to wipe my nose again.
Never mind. So Tommy,
this is a wholesome podcast.
Tommy, this has been a really good having you on. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about your book and talking about media and everything. Plug yourself. Give everybody the everything. What's the book? Where can we pre-order it? What rank are you in the pre-orders?
Oh, I should Google it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give us the brand splinter.
Give us the deets, dude.
The book is called The Catholic Hipster Handbook. You can get it from Ave Maria Press's website. right? That's something you should do.
Yep.
But if you're also just, you know, doing what normal people do, then you should go to Amazon and get it there. Or Barnes & Noble. Evidently, starting on October 3rd, they're going to have tables at 100 Barnes & Noble stores around the country with this book on it.
No way.
What?
That's awesome.
Holy cow.
How does that make you feel, Tommy?
Like no one's going to pick it up and they'll take them down by October 6th or something.
That's true. How many people go into a Barnes & Noble in 3 days? Like,
I am going to be going into the Barnes & Noble on October 3rd to take a picture of my dumb face with this table if it's there. Although I don't even know if mine qualifies because they're putting it up at the top 100 biggest stores. And I don't even know how many stores they have. Do they have 100?
I feel like it's only 100 and they're just saying that.
Yeah.
That could be.
Also, they say a table, but like how big is the table? Where is the table in the store? Is it in the corner? Is it
in a religious section that no one goes to?
Yeah.
As far as the pre-order thing, because we were trying to break the pre-order record or whatever, I guess technically we did.
Hey-o.
There's been like 2,800 copies purchased so far.
Wow.
Nice.
6 days to go until the release. So, yeah, we blew that one dude's book out of the water. So praise be everyone who clicked the link.
That's
on
incredible.
Twitter. Yeah. And well, I don't know. You can find me wherever you want, I guess. I should say CatholicHipster.com. Could we pull back the curtain a little bit? Because I think it's worth people knowing, since you say like, oh, Tommy, there's such an engagement level and stuff.
Yeah.
Not that many people actually click on things and listen to them. I think that's worth noting.
Oh, that's like, true.
When people are like, oh, wow, like, you know, they play the chimney on the radio. So it's like, or a little bit of it, at least, not the part where it's actually funny. But they were like, oh, that must be cool, like, whatever. And it's like, well, people need to know that, like, there's no income from that. And nobody clicks on that. Like when I tweet the chimney out, I get maybe two people who click on the link. So let's be realistic. And, you know, I think we should be realistic sometimes.
Yeah. You know,
you can still listen to it.
Given
the
number of followers that we all have and the amount of clicks that we get, it's just like sad sometimes. Like I get it. Even for you, Tommy, you've got like what, over 7,000 now and you get two clicks. That's crazy.
I thought you were going to beat me on followers for a while there when you started blowing up. There was a period when you went nuts, and I thought, well, I'm getting overtaken by a 21-year-old in Kansas. Yeah. It's all over.
Well,
for me.
I mean, there's still time.
You will. You will.
Eventually.
Because I'll give up before you do, right? Like,
well, maybe. I don't know.
Years on you, so I think I'll give up before you.
I probably make too many people upset with my tweets sometimes to really have any mainline success.
I was just thinking, like, so I'm 35. In 5 years, am I still going to be tweeting jokes about walking into a Mormon church asking about wives? Or is that...
I just saw that one. That was awesome.
Will I be done? Will I be deleting my account at that point?
Ethan's muted. Is he blowing his nose right now?
Darn tootin', I was.
When you blew your nose, I'm from Florida, and I've been through hurricanes, and that was the most wind I've ever heard in once.
Where in Florida where you are from, is that like a
family? Oh yeah, maybe I shouldn't make jokes about that. Yeah, my family's fine. Thank you for asking.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. So that's it. I guess you could go to CatholicHipster.com, but I don't know why you would, but you could if you want to.
Cool. That was the best plug I ever heard. Tommy's doing a really good job of selling himself here, folks. He's also on Twitter. He's at Tommy something something. I mean, if you search Tommy, he's like the first one to come up.
It's the GH of silence. Please, all of you who kept saying things to at Catholic Hipster, she's now locked her account. She won't talk to me. So leave her alone. Like, please
sucks.
Try and tweet at her. I tried to follow her. She wasn't cool with it. I sent her a direct message one time saying, can I please have your handle? Because you don't tweet that much. And then she locked her account.
Ouch. That's brutal.
I do like you, though. I hope it's good out in New Jersey. Whatever you're tweeting, I hope it's funny.
Can't see it because you blocked me. But whatever. Cool. This has been really fun. Patrick, you got anything else to say before we close it out?
Got nothing else.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Tommy.
Yeah, it was a good time. I hope your editing magic can make it entertaining.
Oh, it never does. So it's quite the wish, but we'll see what I can do. Thank you, Tommy. Really appreciate everything that you're doing. Sounds like this book's going to be really great for lots of people. So doing good work.
Thanks, Ethan.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We will be praying for you, and we will see you on the Twitters.
And donate to Patreon.